Lord, like I said, coming here just a couple nights ago, in the middle of the night, it wasn't even on my thought.
Where'd you come from?
Oh, we come from Cody, Wyoming. That's where I live. You can turn the maybe down just a little bit. Okay. So I'm from Cody. And so, what's that? No, this is up by, we're the east entrance to Yellowstone Park. About 100 miles from Billings, Montana. So we're right near the Montana border. So, God's country. From? You're from Cody? Oh, okay. All right. So you know how it's God's country, isn't it? You won't argue with that, will you? No. So there's good. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. God's country. So, so we made the first night just to Springville and pulled over in the middle of the night. Lord just really speaking about the angelic. And it wasn't even on my horizon. I get up in the morning and I tell Charmaine that. And she says, you know what? The prophets are speaking that a lot right now. That in 2022, the angelic realm was released. There was three women that went to Red River Revival area. And they saw Dutch Sheets there too.
Oh, yeah.
And then Dutch shared that and saying there's going to be an increase in the angelic realm in 2022.
Wow.
So that just kind of confirms what the Holy Spirit was speaking. And so that I just meditating on this stuff driving down and then finalize these notes here. You know, we're on the verge of a great awakening.
Yes.
All hell is raging. If you think about it, hell is raging. Why is hell raging? It's because the pressure is coming down from heaven. The angelic realm is coming down, and the pressure is feeling it. It's like a friend shared today. He sent me a text. He said, what's happening in D.C. with these false leaders, these illegal leaders and stuff like that? They were selected. They weren't elected.
Yeah.
He said, what's happening is they're like... like an animal cornered.
Yeah.
Be careful. I mean, you live in rattlesnake areas. I mean, you've seen some rattlesnake. You don't corner a rattlesnake. Or you can get in big trouble or some wild dog or something like that. You corner them, they're threatened. They're going after you. And I tell you, we're on the verge of it. There's going to be persecution, people. We're not just going to sit there and say everything's just going to be peachy keen. But in the midst of this angelic presence, miracles, signs, and wonders are getting ready to be poured out like never before.
Yes.
But we've got to also understand the season and time we're in. We can't take this laying down. So talk about a great awakening. Let's start in the midst of this. Let's look at what it says in Psalms 91. Verses 9 through 12. A lot of you have probably been reading this during the last couple years. I mean, it's probably one of the most popular verses out there, especially with COVID and all the stuff that was hitting. And my wife and I were claiming this a lot. And then also the power of communion, understanding the power of communion. That's powerful. One of the things, my mother-in-law's maid, Jesus, appears to her a lot. She's a brand new Christian, only been in the Lord a couple years, I should say. And the Lord appears to her quite often. And she tells my mother-in-law, who's a seasoned Christian, and my mother, what? Jesus has been appearing to you again? She said, well, doesn't he do that for all Christians? Come and sit on their bed and talk to them? Not quite. It happened that way. But what's happening is miracles, signs, and wonders are breaking out with this woman. When we were there just a couple years ago, Jesus walked in and she saw the nail prints on his hands. I said, ask her if there was nail prints on his hand. I'm pointing like this. She said, no, they're right here. But she's had so many tremendous encounters in the Lord. This is just 2 years ago. And one of the things that happened is when COVID broke out, she was really afraid. She couldn't go to work. And, you know, they're poor, and people were dying. A lot of people were dying in India of COVID. It was pretty bad. And she was very fearful. And my mother-in-law would encourage her on the phone. They couldn't, there was a lockdown, so they couldn't get out and see each other. But one night, Jesus appears again. And he comes with two other people, and he serves her communion. He says, drink this. He says, when you drink this, everything will be okay. Wow. As soon as she drank this red drink in this cup, the way she described it, all of the fear left. There's power in the communion. Not just going through the communion like some kind of ritual, understanding what that represents. The broken body of Jesus, by his stripes you are healed. The death angel passed over the children of Israel when the blood was on the doorpost, people. And look at what it says here in Psalms 91. This is another thing we've been claiming during this whole time and been staying healthy the whole time. I haven't been sick in over 2 years. Not even a cold. A few injuries from some stupidity, but that's about it. Psalms 91, 9 through 12, it says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Jesus said, we'll tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In Luke 10:19, he says, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. These angels are here for us, people. You know, the scriptures galore, it's talking about angels. You know, one of the things that the angels said when Jesus was born and he appeared to the shepherds, I believe it was, he said, fear not. I got great news for you. Good news. Do you realize in the Bible, somebody mentioned this, there's actually 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day. Do you think the Lord structured that for a reason? He said, we don't have to walk in fear. And the angels came to proclaim that and said, hey, we're with you. And we'll read a lot, mention a lot of scriptures on healing, on angels. But let's talk about, first of all, about this great awakening. There's been two great awakenings that have already happened in the United States, and we're on the verge of the third one. So let's just look at a little history of what was happening during those great awakenings. The first one was with George Washington. George Washington, he went out to fight with the British again in the French and Indian War, and they weren't quite doing it right. Long story short, these Indian snipers who were very good shot at all of the leaders and killed every one of them except George Washington. He was a colonel commanding his troops. They were heading towards a fort in Pittsburgh, and right out in the open, all of a sudden, out of the trees and the clefts and behind the rocks, they opened fire as they came into this open field. George Washington, his horse was shot out from under him. Everybody got word back that it was a total massacre. Everybody got wiped out. But a few days later, all of a sudden, George Washington and his troops show up at the fort. And they said, what? We thought you were wiped out. We heard the news. He said, I'm alive in the land of the living because of the hand of providence. And he took off his vest, and in that vest was 9 bullet holes.
Oh my goodness.
And not one bullet hole went through his body.
Wow.
That Indian sniper was very good that was shooting at George Washington. It's that angels were protecting him.
Wow.
In fact, that Indian sniper met George Washington. And here's what he said. Here's the man that cannot die in battle, and someday he'll lead a great nation. He became the first president of the United States. Destiny could not stop him. Bullets going into the vest never penetrated his body. You know, when that word spread, one of the greatest preachers of that time was a guy by the name of Samuel Davies. And Samuel Davies began to tell that what had happened to George Washington and his troops, and the first great awakening hit the shores of America. Because of a miracle intervention by God. And then you look at George Washington crossing. I mean, do you know the history of what happened when he's crossing the Delaware on Christmas night? Do you know the history of how they were surrounded and they were going to be wiped out, but somehow God spared them? And then that was the greatest surprise attack when they're crossing the Delaware. It's good to know the history of what happened. It was a miracle intervention of God, what happened on the Delaware. And what had happened and how they won that battle, which was a turning point for the Revolutionary War. We ended up winning it because they were greatly outnumbered. The odds were against us. That was the first Great Awakening. The second one was in the 1800s, and it was during the time of a guy by the name of Charles Finney. Anybody ever heard of Charles Finney? Charles Finney was a lawyer who got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he had to quit his practice and go plead the cause of Christ, I think, the way he worded it. And he'd have a guy go before him into town. This guy's name was Father Nash. They were given to prayer. Prayer and intercession. Father Nash would go and pray and days before Finney would arrive. And there was times that Finney walked into town and there would be people that felt like as soon as they saw Finney, they felt like they were sinking down into hell and they were saying, please save me, save me. Finney hadn't even opened his mouth. He walked into a factory one time, 200 people in this factory working hard. As soon as he walked through the door, never even opened his mouth, and all of a sudden, the whole factory starts weeping and crying. 200 people. The plant manager said, it's more important that we tend to the salvation of our souls than to continue to work, and the whole factory comes to Christ, and Finney never even opened his mouth. Most of the universities out east, universities like Yale, Princeton, Harvard, they were founded during the great move of the Holy Spirit. They were Christian universities. Now they're bastions of atheism and agnosticism, destroying our country from the inside out. Because there was a different mindset that came to Christians in the latter times. Wow. We let it go.
Yeah.
But that was birthed, a great move of the Holy Spirit, and that was the second great awakening. There's going to be a third great awakening. How do we know there's going to be a third great awakening? It's already starting to happen in different parts of the world. You know, lots of times when the persecution and politicians and government try to shut down Jesus and the persecution gets intense, so do the miracles get more intense. Look at that in the Bible, in the book of Exodus. And here was one time, George Washington at Valley Forge, 1777, had an angelic visitor appear to him. Does anybody know about this?
No.
It's in the Library of Congress.
Wow.
Just search the Library of Congress. It's in the Library of Congress. He's at Valley Forge. He's in intense prayer. You ever see the painting of George Washington on his knee in Valley Forge?
Yeah.
He's on his knees praying. A lot of people call George Washington a deist, which is close to an agnostic. Somebody says, oh, maybe there's a God, maybe there isn't, who cares? It doesn't affect my life. I guarantee you, somebody that's a deist or an agnostic is not going to be into deep intercession.
Yeah.
So one of these times he's in deep prayer, he didn't want to be bothered, and all of a sudden a beautiful angel appeared and told him that there's going to be three perils that are going to happen in America. This is in the Library of Congress. Look it up. So the first one, he showed him it's the Revolutionary War, and he showed how America would overcome and we would turn out and prevail in the end. The next one, he showed him the Civil War, where brother turns against brother and they're fighting one another. And then the Union, the angel says, the union will survive. I don't remember all the words that this angel said, but what I'm really focused in is this last peril. And the angel tells George Washington, this third peril will be the most dangerous peril in America. And everything will look hopeless. And then something's going to happen. Let me read it to you. In fact, you can actually download this. What's at stake for us in the 2020 election? I think I have it as a blog on our website if you want to read some of these things that I'm talking about. But here's this angel told them three great perils would go through. The first, the Revolutionary War. The second, the Civil War. The third, being the most dangerous, is what's taking place in America right now. In the third peril, Washington saw a dark cloud come. And what happened is this angel showed him a vision of all these perils. So, and he describes perfectly what happened in the Revolutionary War, what happened in the Civil War, and now what's happening in the last days. Look at this. And Washington saw a dark cloud come over the land. It actually came from the east and from Africa, it said. And it came over the land, with a dark red light, causing many cities and villages to be burned. It looked like all hope was lost, the destruction of America, until all of a sudden a trumpet sounded, and instantly a light of 1,000 suns shone down from above America, pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America, and things began to turn around, and our nation was spared. I believe this is what will trigger the third great awakening. And what's so nice is, Bible says if we listen to the prophets, I'm not just saying any prophets, there's some prophets that go back on their words, there's flaky prophets out there full of hype, but prophets with proven track records. This is a prophetic word, people, for the last days. And you know what? We can do warfare on that prophetic word. And not only that, it says, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20, if we believe the prophets, which king was it at that time? But he said, if we believe the prophets, Jehoshaphat said, believe the prophets and you'll prosper. If we heed the prophets, we'll prosper. Prophetic is so important in the things of God. So that's why it's good to get around proven prophets. One of the ones I like listening to is Hank Kuhneman. He's had some spot-on words. Anybody watch the Victory Channel? Flashpoint on Tuesdays or Thursdays? It's good to have a good news source. They share exactly what's the good, the bad, and the ugly that's happened in America. Then they bring in congressmen and congresswomen who love Jesus. They bring in the prophetic. They bring in Lance Wall now. They bring in Mario Morello, who's having a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit with his tents. And then they give the news and that kind of background. And I tell you, it's so encouraging. There's times I've listened to their broadcast, and I'm a little bummed out, and by the time they're done with their 1 hour, man, let's go get them. We've got to be aware of things. We got to hear the good, the bad, the ugly, and then have an answer to it, right? Luke 12, 8 and 9 says this. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the angels of God. You deny me before men, I'll deny you before the angels of God. When we're confessing Jesus, there's more than what meets the eye, people. Amen? Amen. And Psalms 103, verse 20 and 21. Let's read that. Psalms 103, 20 and 21. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. It says here, the angels excel in strength, and they listen to the voice of his word. They heed the voice of his word. What happens if I start speaking the word of God, and I start confessing the word of God? Jesus is the living word of God, right? So as I'm speaking the word of God, what's happening? There's angels that are going out there to confirm that. The Bible says your tongue sets on fire the course of nature. How is that? How does impossible things become possible? Well, part of it's the angelic realm, people. And we need to be aware of that realm. Hebrews, let's look at Hebrews 1, verses 7 and 14. Hebrews 1, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Hebrews 1, 7, and then 14. Referring to the angels, he, God, says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers flames of fire. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister those who shall inherit salvation? Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister those who are heirs of salvation. I was over in northern India in a very persecuted area called Himachal Pradesh. It's where the Hindus believe all their gods originate. And there's times we've had tremendous opposition. They've burned effigy of me. They threatened to put us in prison. Just a lot of opposition, but at the same time, we've seen tremendous moves of the Holy Spirit. It's probably the state where we see Jesus and angels appear the most. And one time, I was over there ministering, and Sharmila wasn't with me on this trip, and she saw in the mountains around that area, this is the Himalaya Mountains, tall mountains, where they believe their Hindu gods originate, Kali, the goddess of death, Shiva, the god of destruction, Kali, the goddess of death. They said this is where they're holy, they're temples and idols all over the mountainside in this area. But Sharmila could see flames of fire on top of those mountains while I was over there. Like, she had a very vivid dream. And then when we're preaching, it was one of our most powerful trips. We ended up in two cities. We saw 1,900 people give their hearts to Christ. And people were seeing Jesus. They were seeing angels. Some people were seeing the fire of God on top of the building where we were in. I mean, they were seeing the same things my wife was seeing and describing it to us. And then miracles were breaking out. So, I mean, it says his angels are ministers, flames of fire. Amen? How about remember the time? I mean, it's all over the Bible. What happened? The Syrians were coming, and Elisha, I think it was, his servant Gehazi was a little afraid, and he said, Lord, open his eyes. And what did he see? He saw the chariots of God outnumbering all of the enemy chariots. And I think it was that is where, when they came, Elijah prayed and they all went blind, and then he led them to the king, right? They all led them captive, all blinded. Because why? There's angels. They're more, and this is what he said, there's more for us than that are against us. Amen. Get ready, people. It's starting to happen. Psalms 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about the righteous and delivers him from troubles. We're delivered from troubles. There's divine protection. Angels are. There's times, I remember when my wife and I were newly married, we were a little broke in those days. We didn't have a whole lot, so our vehicles weren't the best. And we were driving from Kalispell, Montana, down to the Denver area to do some ministry. And this fairly junky vehicle. I mean, we didn't have really good ones. And Sharmila's driving, on the freeway, maybe 70, 80 miles an hour. I don't know how fast, whatever the speed limit was. She's going. And then all of a sudden, we could feel like the car, it just like something caved. I don't know if it was a flat or the steering column gave out or what. But all of a sudden, boom! And the car hits like that and then flips over several times. We rolled over in the ditch And we were on the other side of the freeway facing the opposite direction. And the people that saw that happen thought for sure we were dead. I'm getting out of my car. I'm a little bit in shock. I'm out there picking up my cassette tapes. I didn't want my music to be lost, you know. Show me. I mean, we ended up, I mean, it was, God intervened. And we ended up, Sharmila had a couple stitches she needed. The roof caved in on my head, so my body got a little contorted. And my back was really in some pain. I just had her sit me down in the hotel room where we had to spend the night there without a vehicle in the hotel room. They released us quickly from the hospital because we were okay. And I'm in the hotel room. I say, hey, pray over my leg. And she, my one leg was shorter than the other because of the accident. And she just commanded my leg to come back out, and the back was instantly healed. Okay. We ended up getting another vehicle a day or two later and made it down to Denver in time for our meetings. And then got blessed with another vehicle from somebody else. So, but the Lord intervened. And I remember one time, it was several years, and my wife was pregnant at that time. About 10 years later, we're traveling, my daughter, my wife and I, and we're traveling through an ice and snowstorm in Montana. We had some meetings in western Montana. And near Bozeman, I think I ended up hitting a patch of ice and ended up out in the ditch. And thank God I was able to get back out of the ditch, had four-wheel drive, and got back out of the ditch. We continued on. We're going through this one mountain pass near Butte, Montana, and it looked like it was starting to clear up. We come down, and we're telling Charisma what had happened before she was born, how the Lord protects, and he's in control, and that there's angels out there. And we're telling her this stuff, and we come down out of this mountain pass just outside of Butte, and all of a sudden, it was the dry road, and then all of a sudden, there was a huge patch of black ice on the freeway. And we hit that patch of ice, and we just got done telling her this story. We hit that patch of ice, and pew, 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 going 75, 80 miles an hour. And we're spinning in circles, getting dizzy. And thank God there was no semi or anything close to us. And we ended up spinning and spinning. And then by the time it stopped, it was barely in the ditch and about a foot or two before a big post almost dented the vehicle. And it stopped like just a couple feet before the post. And we took off again, had our meeting. But what's happening there? There's angels. It says they'll bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. They're real people. And there's power in the testimony as we share these stories. You know, for a number of years, I was a single parent. I'd gone through a divorce in 88. And my kids were taken out east to New York. I was living in Colorado at the time. I went to visit them. Long story short, it was very difficult. I finally got to see them. And the situation wasn't so good. I mean, it was an abusive situation they were in with my ex-wife's boyfriend, and she was an alcoholic. It wasn't good. And they had to legally give me some custody, some days with the boys. And I pressed them on that. So I pick up the boys. I take them back to where I'm staying, just south of Buffalo, a friend's place out in the country. And we got back real late at night, maybe 12 at night or something like that. We all end up going to bed. About 3 in the morning, my boys were like 3 and 5 at the time. About 3 in the morning, 2, 3 in the morning, something like that, in the middle of the night, my 3-year-old sees an angel. He walks right through the window of his bedroom into the bedroom, and my little 3-year-old says, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I'm here to watch over you. Then I'm going to go check on your father." Then the next day they tell me of the abusive situation they were in. It was so bad I had to pack the van and take those boys illegally back to Colorado and file a court case where I ended up getting joint custody. Against all odds, my lawyer didn't think I'd win. I ended up getting sole custody of those boys and raising them on my own until I remarried. So... But long story short, the Lord intervened right there. There was a number of years ago, 2007 was the first time I met Randy Clark, and my wife and I are ordained and licensed by Randy Clark and Bill Johnson. I first met these guys in 2007 at my former home church in Castle Rock, Colorado. Randy's had so many, if you want impartation, there's nobody, I have not seen anybody more strongly anointed in the area of impartation to release people in miracles, signs and wonder, the angelic and all these kind of things than Randy Clark. So I went down to that meeting and, you know, he's praying over, there's like 1,000 people. I think there was over 1,000 miracles that week in that, I mean, just angels appearing, just you name it. It was a powerful time. And Randy's praying over people. He's talking about impartation. Then he's praying over people. And we're standing there waiting and receiving. And people are falling out and shaking. He comes to me and he touches me. And like my fingers aren't even twitching. Nothing's happening. I'm just standing. I said, Lord, I receive this by faith. I'm not walking by feelings. A lot of times I don't have the feelings, but the knowing. And I said, Lord, I just receive this by faith. And so I went back home after those meetings. It was powerful. I mean, those meetings had an impact on my life. And we're getting ready to head back to India. We're already seeing powerful miracles happen there. The deaf ears opening, cripples being healed, blind eyes popping open. I mean, we were seeing tremendous miracles. But I remember a few days after getting back home, my wife and I went to the gym, and my daughter, who was maybe about 10 at the time or something like 9 or 10, this is 2007, so yeah, she'd have been 9. She and another friend were in the house. We went to lift weights for an hour, hour and a half in town while she's playing with her friend at home. We come back home, and something was different. These two girls were freaked out. I said, what's going on, Charisma? She said, Dad, we saw this huge being walk through our house, and it was more than two stories tall, walking through our house. And it was, she said it was as tall as the purlins on the roof. And I said, so then I got to ask her, I said, well, what did he look like? And she said, he looked like Elvis Presley. And I thought, what? I said, how do you know what Elvis Presley looks like? Well, I think Bob Jones had described some angels that appeared to him, Gabriel, and it looked very similar. I mean, I don't know if it was Gabriel, who it was, but I told Sharmila, I said, you know what, this is a turning point. When we head over to India on this next trip, it's going to be a turning point for our ministry. This was the fall of 2007. We got to a place called Moradabad, India. We like to target cities that are unreached. In that city, a lot of Hindus and Muslims were killing one another. It was not a peaceful place to go. The pastors and leaders thought there's not going to be much happening. They didn't expect a whole lot. But from the first night onward, angels started appearing. Jesus started appearing. And this has been a regular occurrence ever since Randy Clark prayed over us and my daughter saw that angel walk through the house. On a regular occurrence since 2007, we've seen angels and Jesus appearing in our meetings. And I want to tell you this, is Hindus and Muslims are seeing Jesus and appearing, and some Christians. And they're right out there, and I don't even see them. I don't see the angels. I don't see Jesus. I just sense something's happening. And then they come up and start testifying. Oh, wow. Well, and this started happening on a regular basis. They said, I felt like an invisible hand went into my body and ripped the sickness out of it. And I'm completely healed now. Wow. I felt another one come up and say, I felt an invisible hand go into my body and rearranged the body parts. We've had a couple ladies their uterus was out of place in their body, and they felt a hand go in there and rearrange the uterus, and they were completely healed. People were seeing Jesus. I mean, get a load of this. We had one girl, her name was Neelam, who came to the meeting and testified of her miracle. She said she was laying in her bed dying of jaundice. That's a swollen liver. And this angel walks into her bedroom, and this, I mean, not an angel, Jesus himself walked into the bedroom, reaches down, embraces her, tells her to go to our meeting. She comes, and she would get healed. She comes to our meeting, and she's instantly healed by the power of God. She comes up and testifies of it. It's pretty cool when you got Jesus going door to door and advertising your meeting. I mean,
amen.
That's a cool meeting. Yeah. I mean, he does a lot better going door to door than I can. And then we had people testifying of they saw angels. And some people would see angels. Some saw thousands of angels. Some saw one angel. I mean, the presence of God was so strong in that meeting. And every single night, people were coming up and testifying. They saw Jesus. One lady, she did not want to come forward when we were given prayer for the healing of the sick. And she sat out in the darkness. And all of a sudden, out from the crowd, she sees this man walking in a white robe right towards her. Walks right up to her, lays his hands on her, says, "Everything will be okay." And she was instantly healed of all her mental issues and severe asthma. And she comes up and testifies she's completely healed. And she wasn't even trying to get healed. Now, there are so many times this has happened. I could go on for hours and hours. There's something about India and Africa that's different than America, people. And part of it has to do with this right here. The influence of Greek philosophy on Western Christianity. What am I talking about? Well, there's our Western church leader, Augustine, in the 400 AD. He was a Greek scholar who came to Christ. And he was heavy into Neoplatonism. I get into detail about their background. I'm not going to do that. I don't have time to do that right now. But he was a Greek scholar, and he brought much of that into Christianity. And Greek philosophy merged with Western Christianity at that time. Other people that were greatly influenced by this mindset, John Calvin. Anybody heard of Calvinism?
Yeah.
And then Martin Luther. Our main Western church leaders were greatly influenced by this thought. And I had meditated on this stuff for years before I released this book, and I was teaching on it. And I was seeing the effects of, it was eye-opening, especially for a lot of Europeans where I was teaching this, in Germany and Austria and Switzerland, where a lot of this stuff came from. And so I said, you know, it's time to get a book out. In 2020, when the COVID pandemic broke out, and then you're not able to travel overseas and not travel much, you have time to get a book done. And so it's pretty thorough. And I talk about the false doctrines that have come from that influence. The biggest thing is this, is Plato and Aristotle and these guys taught that there was a distinct separation between the invisible realm and the visible realm, the spiritual and the physical realm. And as long as, this is not what Jesus taught. Jesus did not teach this. Africa, if you're in Africa or Asia, you don't have that same kind of mindset. But somehow we have that in Western Europe and America. And so much of our thinking, you might say, I believe in the invisible realm and the visible realm. I believe in the spiritual realm and the physical realm. But the thing is, your mindset. Many times because of this mindset, we were raised from little kids with a mindset that separates the spiritual from the physical. And we're taught that stuff in school. We're taught that stuff in church. What does it do? It keeps God and angels and the demonic realm too. I mean, we're clueless to that stuff because we're either totally focused. And there's two words you have for this. You have Gnostic. That comes from Greek philosophy. A Gnostic is somebody whose total focus is the spiritual realm, like Augustine and the Augustine monks at his time. They made vows, and certain vows, the reason they made these vows is to be more spiritual, more in tune to the spiritual realm. By 150 AD, one-third of the Christians were Gnostics. That's what happened with Christianity and how much the Greek philosophy influenced. I don't have time to get into all of that, but you can get more of it in the book. But then there's somebody who's focused totally on the physical realm. there might be a God, maybe there's no God, maybe there is a God, doesn't matter to me, it doesn't affect my life. That person's called an agnostic. That's also part of Greek philosophy. It's somebody totally focused on the physical realm. And the thing is, as long as we have that Western mindset that separates the two realms, we keep the invisible realm from invading this physical realm, people. That mindset has to change, because this year is going to be a year where the invisible invades this physical realm. Angels and Jesus appearing. Let's believe and start believing for these things. I mean, the Bible's loaded with this stuff. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it's pretty cool. My son, when he was 3 years old, saw an angel. My daughter, when she was 9 years old, saw an angel. And I was in my 50s when that happened to my daughter. And I was joking around with the Lord and said, Lord, it would be really nice, you know. Here's Hindus and Muslims, they're seeing you face to face. You know, they're seeing angels. My daughter and my son are seeing angels. They're seeing Jesus, you know, things like that. It'd be really nice if I could see an angel someday. And Lord, he's kind of funny. I'm taking a picture in our house one day, and I took a picture, and then when I, you know, put it on my laptop, there was a mirror on this wall when I was taking a picture, and there it was, an angel staring at me so vividly. I don't know if I have that picture with me. If I do, I'll bring it. But you know what he looked like to me? Like George Washington. Look like George Washington staring at me in that mirror. So the Lord answered my prayer, even though it was kind of a joke, you know. And it that's kind of cool. So I like that. Let me just get off on a side note here. Do you know, after the Toronto blessing and these kind of things were happening, there was a lot of people that saw angels. Randy Clark had them happen in his meetings a lot. And people, like one of the missionaries I work with, having a tremendous encounter with angels. And you know what was happening is some people would take that move of the Holy Spirit and they would try to start working these things up. There was a church in our town that doesn't even exist anymore because of the hype. But they during that time, they were, and there was a lot of pride issues going on there too. And what had happened is they would, in meetings, when they would take pictures in the meetings and they would see these little orbs coming off the lights and they say they were angels. And there was all kinds of talk of orbs. And people were trying to work up the angelic realm to the point, what happens is when we don't have the real thing, people, we deaden the real thing. So when the real thing does, it's kind of like crying wolf. And then when the wolf appears, now they cried wolf too much, you know. And what happens is we cheapen the move of God. We've got to move beyond that kind of stuff. If an angel appears, yeah. If we're slain in the Holy Spirit without trying to work it up or push somebody over, yeah, that's great. Let's not work these things up.
Yes.
God is Jesus and angels are capable of doing these things. We don't have to work them up because we are trying to say, hey, we had the experience too. And it's a lot of it comes out of pride and arrogance. So much negative. We'll talk more about some of that stuff tomorrow. Matthew 16:19. I quoted that scripture, I think, last time when I was here, talking about the authority of the believer. We have a book called The Authority Given to Mankind on the table there. And one of the chapters is about the principle of mirror imaging. And it's found in Matthew 16:19. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind or forbid on this earth is already bound and forbid in heaven. Whatever you loose or allow on this earth is already loosed and allowed in heaven. So what's he talking about? He's talking about a principle in the original Greek that's called mirror imaging. It's where we people are, we're to reflect heaven onto planet earth. Even the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is a part of that principle of mirror imaging, reflecting heaven onto planet earth. There's no sickness or disease. There's no sex slave trade in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. We're to be reflecting heaven onto planet Earth. How do we do that? Jesus said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Here it is. Whatever you bind or forbid. We got to understand that in with Jesus, he did not separate the two realms. The two realms were connected as one. You standing here on planet Earth can take authority, and if there's demonic things happening in the heavenly realms, you take authority over that and bind it and forbid it, and it takes place. If you loose things, what happens? It's already loosed in heaven. Every move of the Holy Spirit that takes place on planet Earth, I believe, is a direct result of affecting the invisible realm first. You affect the invisible realm, guess what? After that, angels come down. Jesus comes down. Miracles, signs, and wonders. A great awakening takes place. If we could only see what's happening right now, rather than hell raging on planet Earth and raging in Washington, D.C., and all the garbage that's going on in our nation and around the world right now, if we could only see what's happening behind the scenes, we'd walk in a different mindset. We need to. Is anybody getting anything out of this tonight? Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, one thing Augustine said, too, he was a Greek scholar, and the focus was mainly the spiritual. He said, everything that happens in this life is the will of God. And see, he had a God he worshipped called, he was into Macronism for 9 years before he came to Christ. We have the history of that stuff in this book that I wrote. But in that mindset, Augustine believed there was two gods, one that did good, one god that did evil. And he worshiped these two gods until he became a Christian. Then he lumped them all together as one god, brought his Greek philosophy in with it, and he believed that one god does both good and evil. Don't question it. Everything is the will of God. Then you take scriptures like Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, out of context. No, all things don't work together for good. If you don't read the end of that scripture and the beginning of that scripture, they can work together for the good, but they don't just automatically work together for the good like Augustine said and John Calvin. And what happens if we believe everything is the will of God? And then Augustine even went on to say, and don't say it's of men or if it's of angels, it's the will of God. If we believe everything that happens in life is the will of God, then guess what? You have no authority. You will never rise up. You'll never use your authority. You'll walk in a passiveness and a laziness because God's going to do it all. And you'll also come to a place of complacency. Another thing that happens is we don't resist the devil. See, a big part of the mindset that came from Augustine and Calvin is there's no such thing as... basically, it's almost like they ignore the devil and Satan. And we know who does the evil. We know who does the good, right? And they don't work together. That's a big false doctrine that came out of the influence of Greek philosophy and Western Christianity. Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That word flee means he'll run from you in terror. But here's the problem is because of the influence of this Western Christianity, Greek philosophy, Calvinism, Augustine's mindset, what happens is that is passed down through the generations, and we get to the place we're not submitting to God. We're submitting to the devil's will and plan for our lives because there's no resisting the devil. If you don't resist the devil because, you know, you believe God does it all, God's doing the good and the evil, guess what? You're going to submit to the devil's plan for your life. There's a lot of Christians, because of this influence, they're submitting to the devil's plan for their life and they're resisting the will of God. Oh, brother, I could never do that. No, a lot of Christians are because of this influence. When you start thinking God does both the good and the evil. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, what's happening in Washington, D.C., people, is we've had a mindset where in Western Christianity, keep everything spiritual. Many times in a lot of Christian circles, and it's sad to say some of the circles I travel in, the mindset is all about revival, all about Jesus, all about the spiritual realm. It's much like Gnosticism, where we just ignore this physical realm. Well, then, if we ignore politics and government, we ignore education, we ignore business realm and big tech and big pharma, we don't get involved in that area because everything, we just have to focus on revival, brother. And we ignore arts and entertainment, the media, all that stuff. If we, as Christians, ignore all those realms of society, then who takes that over? Yeah. Evil. Evil people with wicked plans. We'll talk more about that Sunday morning when I talk about the motivating force of purpose, because here's what's happening is you've got evil people like George Soros and Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci. One of the most evil men alive on planet Earth, and the deception that he's brought on the world. And you've got these people that have been planning for decades. They've had a purpose. They've had a demonic-inspired purpose, visions, and goals. And they are very proactive, but the problem with Christians, because of this Western mindset, is we're not proactive, we're reactive. What happens is we wait for the ship to start sinking, and then we start getting angry and mad. This should have happened a long time ago. Do you notice how many school mothers going to school boards? They're terrorists now, and Biden wants to get them arrested, wants the attorney general to go after them. Because why? Because we've allowed evil to flourish. We've not kept it in check. We've allowed them to be proactive while we're reactive. We wait for the ship to sink. And we are in a different season that if... Here's what the Lord was speaking to me today. I wrote it down. Ignorance in this season of time can lead to the destruction of our nation. We can't be ignorant anymore. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And many times where you see Satan or devil, it's plural. He's not everywhere present. But we're not ignorant of demonic devices. And that word ignorant is the Greek word, which actually is the word agnosticism, agnostic. We're not agnostic of the devil's devices. We're not ignorant. We're not, whatever will be, will be. That's not the mindset. We have to get, this is a different season, people. And if we as the body of Christ don't unify and get active in different parts of society and different spheres of society, we lose this nation. But you've got mothers. We got an 80, I think she's like 87, 88 years old woman, and she's at the school boards. She's at all the Republican county board meetings. If she hears of some evil going on in the town, she's down there at the courthouse waving a flag and getting others. I mean, this woman is a trooper, and she's inspiring, trying to activate other Christians. Get off your butt and do something. We're going to lose our nation if we just sit idle. Lord's laid on my heart in 2022 to get more active, especially sounding the alarm on evil and exposing, because with all the censorship, by the way, I'm in Facebook jail because of the stuff that I've posted. So I wear that with a badge of honor. Because I like exposing the truth. One of the last things I did is how ivermectin worked. We helped get ivermectin into India, and it worked in India. And the state where we have our headquarters, where my wife is from, is the most populated state in the world. Almost 200 million people live in this one state. And they released ivermectin into that state, and it's COVID-free.
What state is that?
Uttar Pradesh. And so what happened And we also, we were given one pastor, we're sending money. We sent probably an average $2,000 a month, some months more, of just sending money to feed the poor and the starving. And one pastor was taking it last May, why hundreds of thousands of people were dying around the Delhi area from COVID. And he bought ivermectin tablets, strips, about 1,000 of them, gave them to the poor and to the Dalits. And by the end of May, the drop rate in Delhi had gone 97% drop in death rate just by doing ivermectin. One ministry I support is right here in Phoenix called America's Frontline Doctors. You guys, get behind that group. They're sounding the alarm. They're speaking truth. And they're being censored because there's an evil agenda. The main censor of Facebook is Peter Daszak. I wrote about him here. And he's the one that helped release and get money illegally into the Wuhan lab to release that virus, when it was forbidden. DARPA, you ever heard of DARPA? They forbid that.
Yep.
But yet, Fauci and Daszak went behind their back along with a number of other doctors. Why? Power hungry. Money. Fauci in 2020 was the highest paid government worker, and that's his salary, $425,000 a year plus the millions he is making on the side from this pandemic. Ephesians 6:12 says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness, people. You cannot ignore the demonic realm. And we're not on the same team. Get rid of this Western mindset that just becomes passive to that. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And let's finish up with this, because it's kind of getting a little late, and we'll get going on some more of this stuff tomorrow when I talk about humility and purpose on Sunday morning. The demonic realm. What's going on in the demonic realm? Oh, brother, we just ignore the devil and he'll go away. Can you imagine what would have happened in World War II if people said, you know, we're just going to ignore that little guy, Adolf Hitler, and he'll go away? No, he wouldn't. We'd be in a mess right now. We allowed it, but it's the same mindset as the World War II. The same mindset is right here in the United States. I just posted something on Facebook, and it actually, they didn't censor it. Thank God. I was talking about Anne Frank, the same people that hit her, they were breaking the law, and the people that killed her, they were keeping the law, fulfilling the law. Not everything that's written is of God. And people take this Romans 13 out of context, people. Peter said this, we ought to obey God rather than men. When government goes against the laws of God, who are we to obey? We're to obey God. And sometimes that means some persecution. All those who are godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. Well, brother, I don't really want to claim that promise. It's a promise. We can claim it. But that's when angels and the Lord start moving. Amen? What happened to Peter? He's getting put in prison and an angel comes and opens the prison door. The angelic realm starts moving in the midst of persecution. It's not the end. Just when things get tough, people. Amen?
Yeah.
There's more to you than meets the eye. If God before you, who can be against you?
Yeah.
So in the demonic realm, what's going on? Let's look at some things in the demonic realm. Stolen elections. We don't have elections. As of 2020, we don't have elections anymore. We have selections.
Yeah.
It's who communist China, Venezuela... who the Democratic Party in Maricopa County said, this is who we choose.
That's right.
But you know what? If the unified body of Christ starts getting on the horn with Mark Brenovich, I believe his name is, attorney general. I've weighed in on his Facebook page. I said, you're not going to be elected if you don't deal with what's right in front of you. And I get a lot of likes on that one. I said, we have to get involved. Let your voice be known. It starts on the local level. It starts in your city, in your county, then in your state, and then goes out from there. But get involved and say, Lord, how can I be involved? Can you pray? Can you up the prayer? Can you sound the alarm? What about going to some school boards where what they're doing is they're saying, no, we're going to force transgenderism on your children. Your children are going to be masked up. They're going to be subject to perversion. We're going to teach them critical race theory. No, we need people rising up to say enough is enough. Because when we unite and we're one voice, they have to back off. We've got 1% controlling the 99. Yeah. It's time for a change. Amen? Yeah. A lot of stuff has happened when evil minority got an active vision and passion and set goals. They took over the other 97% or other 90. I could tell you all kinds of stories in this country how things turned around for the worst and started going downhill because why? The minority had a louder voice than the majority. The majority sat back and said, okay, whatever will be, will be. That has to change. The demonic realm, we've got open border, sex slave trade like never before at our border, people. The drug cartels, terrorists being, there's border guards saying they watch terrorists go right through the border. We got power-hungry elites locking down people. Why what? Many of them, you know what? There's a lot of new billionaires in the world during this pandemic. Mm-hmm. Elite scumbags, I call them. They became billionaires during this time. Because what happened is they locked down small business. Small business went out of, a lot of small businesses were shut down, destroyed. Supply chains were gone. The truth has been censored. You know, I like Aaron Rodgers. I might have to say, I hope he gets to be the MVP of the NFL. Aaron Rodgers ended up with COVID in the middle season. Then they found out he wasn't vaccinated. Oh, no. Oh, boy, the media had a cow. I mean, and the sportscasters, they were laying into him. And the next thing he gets with this Joe Rogan, he gets some ivermectin, and within 3 days he's recovered, and he's playing the next weekend. And they lead the NFL. He's had the best year of any quarterback, and the Packers are the number one team in the NFL right now. Go Packs.
What's his last name?
Aaron Rodgers, R-O-D-G-E-R. But here's what he said, and I like this, because he's taking a mountain, people. We've got to understand there's got to be reformers on all the different mountaintops, arts and entertainment, business, education, politics. What lights your passion? So here's Aaron Rodgers. He recovers within a few days by taking ivermectin, and then within weeks you got hundreds and hundreds of vaccinated NFL players on the COVID list. They can't play because they ended up getting COVID after being double vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on here? So Aaron Rodgers said this. I love this. I put it on my Facebook page. I don't think this got censored either. It did. I got the communist Facebook fact checkers weighing in. Saying something about COVID on this one. He says, if you can't debate it, it's propaganda. It's propaganda. If you can't debate something, if you don't have able to discuss your side of it, it's not the truth, it's propaganda. I said, go Aaron, you got to be the MVP of the league this year. Pray too, he used to be a strong Christian, but he isn't anymore. He needs to come back to Christ. He's had some issues. But I was cheering for Kyler Murray, too. I was really cheering for the Cardinals. But, man, what happened? He's a strong believer, too. So So, praise God. I think we're going to call it quits here for the night. Did that give you something to meditate on? So, spread the word tomorrow night. We're just going to kind of continue. When we talk about humility, we're going to talk about it and turn it into how does this apply for the nation too. Amen? Oh, you